God is on your side. Can I hear an amen? He is on your side. He's not against you. He's on your side. This morning, we want to continue on that, talking about planning, and Pastor Stephen has been talking about change as well. So I'd like to speak to you on courageously embracing change this morning. Courageously embracing change. Let's go to the scripture. I like this translation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says this: stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total, say it, by a total what? Can you see the word? Can see. Reformation or reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a, come on, beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. That's the way God wants us to live. He wants us to have a beautiful life. Now, take sin out of the picture for a while, and you have a beautiful surrounding. God in a garden, talking with men, and they are having a wonderful time, just fellowshipping with each other. There was not like a lot of things that man had to attend to where he had no time for God. I mean, he just waited for the moment where God would come in and they would enjoy themselves. But because sin came into the world, it ruined what God had planned. Now, with Jesus coming in, He restores back to us all that mankind lost. Come on, amen. So now Jesus says, I come that you might have, talk to me, life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes but to steal your life, kill, and to destroy everything that is G-O-O-D. Anything that is good, anything that smells of good, anything that has a hint of good, he comes to destroy it. So Jesus comes that we might have life to the fullest. Come on. So I'm living life. If I'm living life that is less than the fullest, then I'm missing on something. Amen. So we're talking about embracing change this morning. Like I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Do we have that scripture up there? 2 Corinthians. All right, now watch this one. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed. Amen. Into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit, or the Spirit. This is from the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that transforms us. So the whole thing about God is He wants to change us from where we are at right now into something that He wants us to really be. Things that we do not have, He wants us to have. For He has given us all things freely that we might enjoy life. Come on, amen. I like to preach on this more, rather than preach poverty and preach suffering and all these other things, which will come. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but what did He say? Cheer up. Be of good cheer. It's accompanied with the joy of the Lord, which becomes our strength. Say amen. All right. Now, as I said the last time, there are two things that are constant and consistent. That is time and change. These are the two things that are consistent. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is time for everything, and everything has its own special season. We have been changed. Hallelujah. That's salvation. That's the day Jesus saved us, and we accepted Him as our personal Savior. So we have been saved. Salvation. We are being saved. Transformation. We are being changed. Sanctification. We are being changed a little at a time. Come on, amen. We are not there yet. We have not arrived yet. So we have been changed. We are being changed. And we shall be changed, which is glorification. This mortal shall put on immortality. Amen. The Bible calls this corruptible shall put on incorruptible. Which means that this is a corruptible body. It's not a nice body. It's not the best body. We preach sermons on this scripture at funerals. Usually, you know, we tell people, hey, but we need to understand. that this is nothing. This house that we live in is just nothing. God has got a greater thing. Eventually, in every area, we shall be glorified. Amen. All right, so change is coming. Now, we all know that there is a time and there is a season for everything. There was a time where I was a son, and then I had a son, and then I have a grandson. So there's a time and a season. We are being changed. There are some things that you don't, even if you don't give them permission, it's going to change. Okay? Things like your body. How many of you know that your body is changing? Right? Have you ever, you know, like eaten while you're eating food and then suddenly you bite on a stone? God, not? Anybody experienced that before? Nobody. You know, like small pieces of God. How many? Almost all, right? Now, the other day, man, I'm eating and then, whoa, this big piece of stone. Big piece of stone. So I took it out and it was my molar. One of my molars, man. Now, all I have there is just a little thing sticking inside, which is not even a tooth. You're going, whoa, pastor, rotten teeth. Why you had to go, I don't know, you wouldn't say. I've got one tooth less than I did from yesterday. We're all changing, man, whether we like it or not. I used to have all black hair, whether you believe it. Do you believe that Brother Yup used to have all black hair at one time? You won't believe it. I mean, he did. He did it longer, but anyway. Our bodies are changing, and you can do whatever you want to do, man. You can try to, you know, supplements and exercise and Botox your way to youth. I can go to Dr. Chin and say, hey, Dr. Chin, can you make me any younger? Then he will look at the... He says, Pastor, according to the structure of your face, I think it's cheaper for you to just buy a veil. just cover your face and move around. But no matter how hard you try to Botox your way, do we have this picture? How many of you know this guy? Let's put up something. How many of you know this guy? Huh? No, look at that. Look at that. Well, Mr. Travolta, welcome to the future. Next one. Ooh, next one. Yeah, next one. Oh. Oh. No matter how hard you try, man, your body's going to change. You don't give it permission to change. It is going to change. It is going to change. Relationships are going to change, whether we like it or not. Huh? And you got people who are there with you who say, oh, you're the best friend we have. And then suddenly, man, without any clue, they just disappear. You go like, they are those people whom you call beautiful balloons. You know what I'm saying? Up and away. So one moment they are there with you, next moment they are up and away. They are gone, right? Relationships with people change all of the time, yeah? Here's something else. That will change. Our knowledge changes. Why does our knowledge change? Does the convictions that I used to have as a young person, you know, have changed as knowledge increase, right? We change. Now, also, our financial standings will change. Turn to the person beside you and say, there is life beyond broke. Come on. Amen. Things are going to change. Amen. You know, when I started off in a ministry, I thought that would be ministry, which meant just drinking water and eating papaya and going to sleep. Because we never talk about payment, you know. No money. There was no money. I couldn't even afford one ringgit to go out buy roti canai, man. I couldn't even afford that, right? So just drink water, fill my stomach. I thought that was ministry. I never ever thought that now, man, I'll be sitting with Stephen and Monica and eating snake in China and whatnot. Okay, all those meals that we are eating, I never thought they would come. But things change. Your financial status will change. And this year, we are going to believe for more change, for the better. Come on, amen. I preach and I proclaim and I prophesy financial blessings on you. In the name of the Lord. I proclaim it in the name of Jesus. See, we got to keep proclaiming that over our children and over our businesses. You shall prosper because I am a child of God. Amen? They will change. Your children change, huh? Children change too. Very soon, we have to understand they do grow up, and there will come a time where they will not listen to us anymore. They start their own family and they go, bye-bye, senor, because I found my senorita. And then they're out of the house, man. They're gone, all right? They will change. So we cannot stop change from happening. What can I do? Now, we can either resist change, start to fight it. We can ignore it. We can also surrender and have a victim mentality, which means, you know, now Sila, all of them left me, nobody cares for me, and all that kind of stuff. That's a victim mentality, okay? Because we never really expected change to come. We never lived with the mindset that there will be changes in lives. And so we cannot handle it. Or we can start to adjust and start planning for what we want to have. In other words, to initiate change. Jesus said this, interesting. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it. So he wants a certain thing to happen, but then he leaves it in our hands as to what we want to make our houses like. You can have a happy home or a sad home, not depending on God, but depending on you. You plan to have a happy home. You plan to have a good surrounding. Come on, amen. You can plan your friends. Hello. Choose the right ones. By all, you know, God has given that into our hands. Choose the right people so that you can function well with them. So in other words, initiate plans, all right? Okay, how do I go about this? Isaiah chapter 43 is a very interesting verse. Verses 18 and 19. Okay, it's up there. What does it say? Listen to this one. Translation, a good translation. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. Say present. Okay. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a way through the wilderness and streams in the desert. Which simply, two things. One of the things he's saying is that I am the initiator of change. I start creating a desire in you or a dissatisfaction in you so that you will understand, I don't like where I'm at. I will do that because, see, you know, before I became a believer, when we sin, I mean, I could lie to my mother, man, look her in the eye and lie like a dog. Yet I wouldn't feel guilty. But now, when you tell a lie, you feel guilty, right? Only two people nodding. The rest of you going, no. Pastor, he said, okay. So one day somebody asked me, Pastor, he said, okay to tell white lies. Hey, he who tells white lies soon becomes colorblind. Okay, remember that one. You lie, man, soon you will not know whether it's white or black or purple. I mean, you will just tell lies. But now you have a conviction. Why do we have a conviction when we tell lies? Because the Holy Spirit now lives within us. Can I hear an amen? Huh? The Holy Spirit lives within us. Before that, we to tell a lie is nothing. People in the world, you know, they say, come on, man, we live in a world like this. Sure, you tell lies because that's conscience. But the Holy Spirit convicts, amen? And he tells us it's wrong to do certain things. Okay, so he's saying, the first thing he's saying about the whole thing is, I am an initiator of change. And then the second thing he's basically trying to tell us is this, I want to do a brand new thing, a brand new thing. What does this convey? It conveys the idea that I'm not going to repeat old things, okay? Whatever I'm going to do, it's going to be new. It's not a repetition or anything that you have known or heard or seen before. It's going to be new. Everybody say new, right? So it's going to be something that is absolutely new. It's not a repetition. I'm going to be the one who's going to do it. It's not something that you already know or you thought about it. In fact, it welcomes it conveys the idea that it's a welcoming thing. Everybody likes something new. Do you like something new? You like a new car, new house, not new wife, but I mean new. New. Somebody was once preaching, you know, and then they talk about, you know, Job, man. God took away all his children, took away all his property. Why didn't God just take away his wife? She's the one that cursed him at the end of the day, you know. Just give him a new wife. New everything except wife. So if you guys are praying for a new one, forget it. You're stuck for life. Okay. All right. But pray for God to surprise you this year. Amen. God, it's nice to have good surprises, not bad ones. You know, not like suddenly the in-law shows up at the door kind of thing. Okay, I'm talking about good surprises. God wants to surprise us. Why? Because one of his major characteristics, which Jesus introduces us to, is when you pray, say, "Our Father." Fathers like to surprise their children. Give them good things. Buy them things that they don't really deserve. Kind of thing. Just surprise them. And we being earthly know how to give good gifts. How much more your heavenly Father? Say amen. Oh, God has got good things in store for you. If there's one message you need to understand is God loves you and he's got good stuff for you. He is. He's a loving heavenly Father. When you pray, say, Father, not Almighty God, Great God, Creator God. All these things, yes, that's who he is. But when we pray, say, Our Father. My Father. That's who he wants us to relate to. Isn't that what Jesus said? Okay, let's go now. 3 points as to how we can embrace change. Number one, the first thing to understand is real change in us starts with a new life, not a new leaf. It starts with a new life. Have you ever read the two characters in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah? Wait. Do you know that there's two characters called Abraham and Sarah in your Bible? Okay, to those of you who just buy New Testament, buy an old one as well. Now, their names were Abram and Sarai. That's how it started off. But before God could give them change, bring about miraculous change, do the impossible with their lives, before God could bless them and make them become father and mother of nations, before he could do that, God had to ruach, give his breath, ruach. Ah. And so he breathed into Abram and he became Abraham. And he breathed into Sarai, who was full of I, took away the I and ah, and she became Sarah. So new life first, then new everything. Amen. That's how it is. So our change begins when we, first of all, receive Jesus into our lives. When we say, Lord, I really need you in my heart. I thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. Because he is the producer of life. I come that you might have. The thief comes but for to steal. Now, the thief does not come steal and stay. When he comes with the purpose of taking and running away. But when Jesus comes, he says, I come to stay. That you can have, and you can have, and you can have in every area of your life, not just within you, but also in your families, with your children, with your businesses, with your education, in every area. I told you, you know, when I was in Bible school, I was the dumbest of the dumbest, right? That's because of drugs and everything else. So I couldn't study. I just could not. Younger days, I used to be pretty smart when I was small. Then I became a smart aleck and lost it all. Got involved in all kinds of stuff. And you know, drugs destroys the brain cells. And I could not absorb anything. But when I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I'm not made to study because you've got to memorize stuff. You've got psychology. You've got historical geography. You've got all this stuff, maps and everything. Too heavy for me. It was just too heavy in theological seminary. I just could not get anything into my mind. And the passing grade was 70. I mean, in our time, you get 40, man. Hallelujah, you know, kind of thing. Now it's 70, man. And I was barely making the grades, failing in a couple of subjects. I went into the room and I cried and I wept before the Lord. Now listen, life before transformation, miracles, all things happen. And because I had the Spirit of the Lord inside of me, the Lord reminded me again that when you have an anointing from the Holy One, and he will teach you all things. And he walked into that room, and from the day I got saved, where he walked into that room, laid his hands on me, delivered me from drugs and everything. This is the second time he walked into the room, two times only in my life, where he walked into the room, laid his hands on my head. And from that time onwards, I mean, I could absorb just about everything. I would read books. I mean, just a hunger and a thirst to just absorb and read. And so the ability that I know does not come from me. I know that when you have the Spirit of God inside of you, when you've got new life, change can come. Can I hear an amen? So it doesn't come by a new leaf. Somebody once said, church is good people standing in front of good people, teaching them to be good people. But the kind of change we are talking about is God wanting to do a brand new thing. Behold, I make all things new. Creating new things which you cannot even imagine. That's why he uses scripture like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able to do, come on, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine. Why would he give us such a scripture? Because it's true. Paul understood that that is true. Beyond your capacity to imagine, man. He is the creator of all things. Amen. Creator of all things. Real change starts with a new life, not with a new leaf. Number two, real change is a process and not a destination. Amen. After watching Arsenal lose last night, I was really kind of down. I went into the room, and Pastor Lifan, of course, you know, she's already having visions and dreams. And singing to the Lord in unknown noises. And so I just sat at the bed for a while and said, oh, you just came in? I said, yeah, I just came in. I just went on my Facebook thing and found a friend that I had not met or spoken to in 16 years. He's a Scottish guy, John Parks. John Parks used to be demonized. Him and his wife were both demonized. And tattoos all over his body. He was a skinhead. You know what a skinhead is? I mean, Yup would know. Huh? Those guys, a skinhead is simply one of those guys who are like Nazis, right? They hate every other color. They hate every, I mean, they just hate everyone. Okay, so this guy was a skinhead. And I just grab a hold of somebody and just beat the daylights out of him. I just grab them off the street, David, and just beat the daylights out of the guys, man. It's simply tremendous. I had such great thrills just beating up on them. I'd have a whole bottle of vodka and then take magic mushrooms and go to bed. John Parks, gloriously saved. His wife could not read an alphabet, but when she got saved, she could read only one thing, the Bible. Talk about miracles. Amen? So anyway, I got into contact with him, and this morning, you know, we sat down there and just chat on the messenger on Facebook, just chat. And Pastor Lifan woke up again and said, you're still chatting, huh? You know, way past midnight chatting. I mean, come on, 16 years. So I've got friends that you won't want to be friends with, okay? I don't just have pastor friends. He drives a truck, and you may not like it, but it's a truck that delivers whiskey. So I asked him if he could drive to Malaysia. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. All right. So this morning he sent me a picture early in the morning. He's going to go to bed. So he sends me this picture, and the picture of him, and he said, it's minus 10 right now. Minus 10 in Scotland. Guys, listen. If you want, you know, in Malaysia, we don't have weather. Listen, we cannot. Seasons will come, and we cannot change seasons. There's a time and a season for everything. We cannot change those seasons. We don't have seasons here, but I'm talking about different periods in your life. We cannot change the seasons, but we can prepare for them. Now, guys, if you want to take your wives for a holiday where they can experience the cold and everything, take them towards the end of autumn and the beginning of winter. Why? Because it's nice and cold. Autumn, you can see all the colors of the leaves, right? Huh? And then you get to see the snow, right? But you know what the smartest thing about it all is? Guys, they cannot shop. Because all the clothing is for winter. Come on. Listen, all of you. You got to use your brains, man. You got to use your brains. Okay? Because we don't have winter here. So that's a nice time to take them. But what I'm saying is, when you go during that period of time, they are preparing the people for a season that's about to come. Summer end, they already start selling winter clothing. So you go there, all the clothing are so thick. And so once, you know, when we went there, we go, she goes, "Ay, I cannot buy la. All so thick la. All so thick la." Arvin, listening? Listen. You cannot change the seasons, but you can prepare yourself for the season as it is coming. When you recognize, and some don't prepare, that's why they're caught unaware. That's why they become victims of change. When it happens, they are not prepared for the change that happens, which is really sad. Number three, last of all, real change is letting go and grabbing hold. Letting go and grabbing hold. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it begins with, "And God said to Abraham," now God said to Abraham, "Come out of your kindred, your nation, your kindred, your family." That's what God said to him. But the actual translation is, "Now the Lord had spoken to Abraham," it's a past context, "had spoken to him and said to him, come out." But in chapter 11, at the last couple of verses, it says this, "And Terah, the father of Abraham, took Abraham and the nephews and all of that, and they went and they stayed in a place called Haran. Then the father dies, then Abraham begins to make the move." Now, God had spoken specifically to Abraham to come out of his nation, come out of his kingdom, his kindred, his relatives, and his father's house. But Abraham didn't do that. Partial obedience is disobedience. It leads you into the wrong place. For example, Terah, the father's name, means loiter, delay, just lepa, do nothing. Don't get excited about this call. Don't get excited about what the pastor is saying. Just relax, la brother. Relax, la brother. Relax. Don't do anything. The result is you live in a place called Haran, which means parched land. That's not the place God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to live in a place where we get thirsty, where there is no proper nourishment, whether it's towards our own spiritual life, our physical life, our family life. There's no nourishment coming in. There's no waters coming in. The family is dying in a parched land where we disobey God. And then it says, when Terah died, when the old man died, then it was time for God to bless Abraham. Abraham began to move on. You're following with me? Sometimes it's very hard to let go of our old lives. Very difficult to let it go. Change is one of the most difficult things for people to accept. As we get older, it's even more difficult. I mean, I speak to pastors all of the time, and some refuse to make the changes that must be made. We go into Myanmar. All in Myanmar, everything in Myanmar. When we went there, man, there were just trucks that carried people. Very few cars. Most of the people are walking. People would just pack themselves into lorries. Some of you guys have come with me the last time we went. Now it has changed. The landscape has changed. Buildings are coming up. Big, beautiful cars are driving down the road. Everything. But many of the churches are stuck, because they don't want there to be any change. And it speaks of what's happening most probably in the families. When the families don't understand that things are changing, we need to adapt. Come on, parents, we are getting older. We can't say, "Oh, I'm just stuck in my ways." Come on, get unstuck then. Don't say, "Oh, that's the way I've always been. That's the way I'm always going to be." Listen, man, you're just ruining yourself. Change, man. Make a change for the better. Come on, amen. It's never too late to buy yourself a Harley. All right, come on, let's get back to this. And Moses said, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, Verses 22 to 24. Listen to what it says. I love this Passion Translation. This is the Passion Translation. Now, he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man. The old lifestyle. Right? The self-life. Which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. That's where all we get all this imaginary stuff and things that are not really good. It feeds the flesh, but it does not benefit you in any way. That's what he's basically saying. Now it's time to be made new. It's time. Everybody say it's time. By every revelation that's been given to you, and be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life. And live in union with him, for God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Amen. Isn't that a good scripture? This is what has happened. Now embrace this change that God wants to bring about. Say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to go this way now. I'm going to follow your way. God's way is always the best way. It is the best way. You cannot short circuit. You cannot go the other way and expect to be blessed. You have to stand where the blessing is falling. If the blessing is not on you, guess who moved? Guess who moved? So we got to come back under the hand of the blessing of the Lord. Amen? The moment we walk away, we walk outside of it. So he says, embrace this change that God is bringing about. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So with all the things that God is doing right now, we have to say, Lord, I thank you that you have included me in this program. I thank you that you have saved me because there is that Spirit of the living God who is now inside of me and who can transform me. Can I hear an amen? Musicians, come on up. We're going to start worshiping the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.